All right. Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Deuteronomy. This is chapter 8. We have 20 verses in chapter 8, and then we have translation and commentary. And the Lord says in the 16th chapter of the book of John that the sin of the world is that this whole world sins because, and that sin is that they don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe that word of God. Jesus is the word of God. They don't believe that Jesus is God. That's sin, to disbelieve that. They don't believe that he's going to raise people from the dead. As a matter of fact, they don't believe that he rose from the dead. They really don't believe anything. They just like to hear the gospel, to learn about it, because they think it's some form of education, like a book they do an essay on, like you read Tom Sawyer, you might not necessarily believe in it, or Huckleberry Finn, you might not believe in, but you're able to, after you read it, do an essay on it. And after you read the scriptures, you're able to say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, amen, Jesus. And then you're also able to learn what is good and what is evil. But it's obvious that most people today believe that there is no such thing as evil, that it's evil to think evil of evil. But the Lord said, tells us in his word what good is and what evil is, and he said he's not ever going to change that. And people think that they're living in modern times, but they're doing the same evil things that the Lord told about in the law in these first five books of Moses, from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. It teaches us right there what evil is and what good is. And there's no one that's good, the Bible says, only Jesus. And if we're in Jesus, the body of Christ, the building of Christ, there are many rooms that the Lord lives in Christ. God lives in Christ. And if you are in Christ, you're one of the rooms that are in Christ that God lives in. We're members of Christ's body. And all the members in Christ's body are rooms that the Lord Jesus Christ with the Father lives in. And so, in my Father's house, Jesus said, are many rooms. My Father lives in me and in all the people that are in me. So there's plenty of room here in the kingdom of heaven if you want to be there. But to be there, you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and the word of God, and then thou shalt be saved. And he knows, the Bible says, that you believe because you do what he says. Amen? And if you don't do what he says, that means you don't believe him. He tells you to meditate on him day and night. A lot of people, you know, they're not bringing messages, and so there's no need for them to know the things that necessarily a pastor would know, because they haven't matured to the point to where they can do that. They think that they, because they're new novices and everything, that they can just carry on any way they want. But that isn't the way it is. Moses is the only one that went up into the mountain and saw God face to face. The rest of them had to stay down there. And what they did while Moses was receiving the Ten Commandments from God, they were down there fornicating and dancing and singing and building a golden idol, a calf, and wanting to go back to Egypt and saying, Moses, he's not here. What are you, you know, we don't know what he's become of him. Just because you don't know what's become of him, that doesn't mean that you have the right to sing and dance and carry on the way you do. And if you think you do, well, then you have to go to another church. Other churches do that. You say, well, what are you trying to do, get rid of all this? No, I'm trying to keep a church here, and I'm going to do it that obeys the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so Father, we ask that you stated that it's expedient for you to go away. It's very necessary for you to go away, Jesus, because the disciples were sad about that, but it's very necessary for you to go away, because if you don't go away, then there's no... If you weren't going to be killed or die for the sins of the world, then none of us could be saved, not even any of the people in the Old Testament. So it was very necessary for you to die and then go to hell for our sins, and then be resurrected from the dead, and then ascend into heaven. It was necessary for you to keep all the commandments, and so that you could show people that with you in them, that they have the power, because you're the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Godhead bodily now, that they have the power of God to live and work your works, because it's you in them doing it. So he says, the Father, Jesus, you're the Father. You told that to the disciple, that you are the Father. Have I been so long with you that you don't know me when you asked, who show us the Father? You want us to remember these things. You want us to, what's the title of this, the header?
A Call to Remember and Obey.
So you want us to remember these things. We have to remember to obey. Amen?
Amen.
This is Old Testament, and Jesus said, remember. Remember? Remember me wherever you go. Because if you don't remember him, he says, those that forget God, he says, I'll tear you to pieces. Amen?
Amen.
Take heed that you don't forget me. And a lot of people like to just get into all other things, and they just really feel sad that they can't do what they want to. The ministry is not for people that want to do what they want to do. If you don't have enough of the Spirit of the Lord in you, or know the Lord well enough for him to check you on doing something and to tell you when it's all right to do something, then you ought to just obey those that have the rule over you, right? A lot of people want visitors and all this kind of, this is, you know. And if the Lord tells me no, I'm going to tell him no. Then they get all bummed out because they have somebody around them that tells them what it is that they're supposed to do, that that isn't what the Lord wants today, okay? Then there's a time and a place for everything. Then sometimes the whole backyard is filled with visitors in the house as well, amen?
Yeah.
But sometimes it isn't the right time. And then people will say, well, you let somebody else come the other day. I know, because the Lord said so, all right? But today you want somebody to come over, and because you think that I'm showing partiality rather than listening to what the Holy Spirit says, then you get bummed out. Don't do that. Remember, people have to walk by the Spirit, okay? Not by their feelings or by their sight. And if you don't have enough of the Lord's Spirit in you to know, then at least give somebody the credit that they might know. Amen?
Amen?
Especially if the Lord called them to be in charge. Don't get bummed out, because I don't want to be bothered with people like that, okay? I just can't be bothered, right?
Right.
You ought to go someplace else where you can do anything you want. That's the Hollywood Palladium or some dating bar or so, you know, to go and to a park someplace with Jack Mosley, okay? Into the world of faggotism. Well, anyway, Father, we ask that you bless, that you anoint this service today, Deuteronomy chapter 8, and Lord, give us the power from it to last another day, and Lord, make it possible for it to last the whole day until chapter 9. And Lord, let everybody not only rely on these one chapters every day, but for them to also read from other books wherever you lead them. Let them be concerned enough to seek you to find out what it is that you want for them to read as well. This, just as I am as their older Christian, is what you wanted me to bring to them. But let them learn to be led by your Spirit as well, so that they don't get offended when they're told to do something that you tell me to do, or for them to do. Lord, let every hearer of this tape learn these lessons and remember them, as it states in the 8th chapter, I believe it's verse 2, and in all throughout the New Testament, where Jesus says, remember that I told you these things. Remember. Remember, Lord God, anoint me, let not anything be said that really doesn't come from you. We ask it in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.
And anoint your words, Lord. Okay, go ahead.
Deuteronomy chapter 8, A Call to Remember and Obey. King James Version.
Okay, remember that the sin of the world is that they don't believe in Jesus. Read that part, will you?
Yes.
In chapter 16 of the book of John.
Yes, sir. And when he is come, he will
be... Go to before that.
Okay. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away.
It's necessary for you to go away, because if I don't, I won't become the Holy Spirit. First, I won't shed my blood. You can't be saved unless I shed my blood. And I won't go to hell for your sins. And I won't be killed for your sins, for in your place. And then I won't be able to ascend into heaven and become the Holy Spirit and live in you and be closer to you than I am right now. Right now, I'm with you. But when that happens, when it's the necessary thing is that when that happens, is that I'll be in you. That's a far more intimate relationship than you have with me now. And I'll teach you everything. There's many things that you people can't understand now, he's saying. But the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, is what he's talking about, the Comforter, or himself. When he comes, he'll teach you all things. He'll tell you when to come, when to go, when to have visitors, when not to have visitors, when to sing, when to dance, when not to sing and when not to dance, when to eat and when to fast. Teach you to go out of the house or stay in, tell you to go to town or stay home or go someplace out in the country or whatever. But he says he'll teach you everything, all your movements, which the Bible cannot tell you on a daily basis of where you're supposed to go, what you're supposed to do moment by moment, or what to say and what not to say. So it's very important that the Lord goes away. He says, he'll be away just for a short period of time, and you will not see me anymore. And then all of a sudden, you'll see me some more. Amen?
Yeah.
And that happened. He says, then I remember these things that I'm telling you. And I want you, then when he came back, he rose from the dead, he told him to go to Jerusalem, stay in Jerusalem, tarry there in an upper room until he moves into their bodies, until they're baptized in the Holy Spirit. So that the Holy Spirit can be within them, not only with them, but in them, and teach them everything, all things, everything they need to know. And he says, you can't receive all the things you need to know now until you see me raised from the dead, because there's not enough generation of my words in you now until you actually see this miracle of me being brutalized and crucified, being buried, and then being raised from the dead. There's not enough regeneration there for you to remember. And then when you feel me enter into your body and start speaking to you in the Spirit, then you're going to be able to say, Lord, what this and what that, and I'll teach you. Then you'll remember these words that I taught you. And he said, this isn't just for you, it's for people afar off, everybody that believes in the Lord. And remember, the sin of the world, you have to remember that, is unbelief. They don't believe Jesus. They don't believe in Jesus. Okay, now run that again, because right from the start.
Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin.
Okay, because the sin of the world is unbelief. Then go ahead.
And of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me.
See, the sin of the world is they don't believe on me, the word of God. Isn't that something? That's condensed right down into a one-liner. Amen?
Amen.
And then what?
Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged.
Right. Because when I'm proven to be righteous, and I'm proven to do what I said, that I'm entering into you by the Holy Spirit and teaching you all things, then you know that the devil has been judged. Because I've been proved to be righteous, because when God raised me from the dead and ascended me into the kingdom of heaven, and then I moved into you by the Holy Spirit. All these signs and wonders are absolute proof that you should no longer disbelieve, that you fall into the same sin as the world, but that you believe. for those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the whole entire Word of God. And he knows you believe when you do what he says. All right, now let's go into Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1.
All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way.
And thou shalt remember, okay, because the Lord says remember these things, right?
Yes.
Don't forget. Don't be forgetful hearers. And hearers only, and not doers, because the word, Jesus, tells you to not be hearers only, but to do what the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
So let's put some more emphasis on the word remember. Walking in the rain. Remember walking in the sand. Okay? And what else? Let's go.
And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years.
Yeah, that he wants to, he led you by a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire, pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And now he leads us today by his Spirit. We walk by faith now, not by sight of some cloud that we're following or some flame up in the sky at nighttime. No, it's far more subtle than that. The Lord now lives in us and is talking to us in the Spirit. There's a communion there between he and us. We can talk to him anytime we please, and all the time for that matter. He's got plenty of time for us, because the Father loves you. He says, Jesus says, even as much as he loves me. And the Father loves you so much, so dearly, that he sent Christ into the world to die for you. The Lord God dearly loves you. And so, to show your love, he wants you to fear him and keep his commandments. Because he doesn't want you, for your own good, he doesn't want you to end in, wind up in hell, in the lake of fire. So you have to remember also that the Lord dearly loves you. It says that in either chapter 16, 17, or 18 of the book of John. He says he loves you as much as he loves me. And some, I believe that he probably even loved us more because he spent Jesus for us. He let him be murdered for us. So that shows a lot of love, dear love. Love that passes understanding. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart.
Now, but the Holy Spirit leads us for 100 years if you live that long. Amen?
Amen.
And then what?
To know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no.
Yeah, he wants to know if you're going to believe and remember his word and not just be a hearer of the word, but keep his commandments, do what he says, or no, or not. Okay, then what?
Verse 3, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not.
Right, he made you go through the fire. Because you're not going to, you know, really enjoy the promised land if you're carted over there on a posturpedic mattress, you know, or on a jet, you know. You're there in 2 minutes, and what's the difference? Okay, we can always fly back and forth, whatever we want, like the people today do. They have a choice to do this or that or this or that, but the Lord makes us walk in the Spirit so that we can't do this or that or this or that. We can't fly. You know, I have enough money to fly from here to California or New York, or I could fly to Israel if I wanted to. But I can't do it unless the Lord okays it, unless he has a specific reason. So that's why he doesn't give a lot of people money, because they do things that the Lord really doesn't want them to do. It's like going through the fire to stay in this town, okay? But it would be a lonesome old town if God, Lord Jesus Christ, wasn't around. Amen?
Amen.
And he wouldn't be around if I just did whatever I wanted. So you have to choose whether you want to just go to, you know, wherever you want, or to stay in the Spirit and be where the Lord wants you. Okay, children, he wants you to be under subjection to your parents, right?
Right.
Okay. And he wants the children to obey their parents until they grow up. And still, if they're right, you still have to obey them. It doesn't matter. There's no age limit on that. Because if they're of the Lord, they're telling you what the Lord says. You're not obeying them. You're obeying the Lord. If they're telling you to do something other than what the Lord tells you to do, and you don't believe that they're walking in the Spirit, when they are, you're in trouble. But if they're if they want you to do something that you know is unscriptural, and you're not under any obligation to do it, as a matter of fact, you're obligated to not do it, to be a witness to them. Okay, then what?
And fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live.
So we live by believing and remembering the word of God and doing what it says, to walk in the Spirit, and thou shalt not fulfill the lusts of the flesh thereof. Okay, then what?
Verse 4, thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Verse 5, thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee.
Right, and that's why he put him out in the desert, because out in the wilderness, because we have to have a broken spirit and a contrite heart. The Lord can't work in something that's not broken. He can't get into anybody that's not broken, and he can't pour himself out of that any person unless they're humbly broken, not humbly before man, but humble before the Lord to do as he says. That's what humility means. Some people just think that you're supposed to just humble yourself before devils and everything else. But no, we're supposed to rebuke the devil, and he'll flee from us. Okay, but he put them there until to try to get all this complaining and murmuring and all these railings out of them, but they didn't appreciate the work that the Lord God was doing in them. If they would have been perfect, broken spirits and contrite hearts, they would have been in the promised land in just a few days. Very few days. It's a very short journey. But no, it took 40 years and they still were like rubber, like hard hearts, like stone, like industrial rubber or rock, granite. And they had to die and go to hell. They couldn't enter the promised land. Okay, then what?
Verse 6, therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. Verse 7, for the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains, and depths that spring out of valleys and hills. Verse 8, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates.
Yeah, you don't have any of that out here in the wilderness, but there will be that in the promised land. Then what?
A land of oil, olive, and honey. Verse 9, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. Verse 10, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Translation, verse 1 through 10, a call to remember and obey. Quote, be careful to obey all the commands I am giving you today. Then you will live and multiply, and you will enter and occupy the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors.
That's what Jesus said, you know, on the Last Supper. He says, remember me as often as you will. And he tells us how often that is. If you have perception, he says, commune always. Pray always. Communicate with me always. If you want to know what's best for you, call on me always. But he says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. They go to hell because they don't communicate. We have people in this church, I mean, that we have to pay bills and everything, and the person leaves a bill laying on their desk for 18 days. Says, well, a check from New York didn't clear. I said, yeah, but we have money over here. We could have bank wired it to you right away. You're supposed to tell me. And then he just says, like, there's a silence on the phone. And this goes on with this particular person on and on and on. And nobody tells me. They communicate with him. rather than me. And so there's, I got to get the books away from that person. Because they just think that it's not important to remember what the Lord says. To don't usurp authority over the elders, so you're, and obey those that have the rule over you, and to communicate. All you'd have to do is say, sir, I mean, there's like $18,000 worth of bills here or whatever. Or there's a bill for $25 and we don't have it in the bank. Well, we've got like $25,000, $50,000 we could have sent him. They just sat there and let it go, a small bill go, a car payment for Tommy Scarcella to go without being paid for 18 days. But the checks weren't cleared to the bank. We could have bank wired you money. And then there's just silence. And he just keeps telling the same person the same thing over and over and over and over again. And you people in the office hear that, right?
Right.
And he just never stops. He doesn't believe in communing. So I don't believe if he doesn't communicate with me, I don't believe that he's communicating with the Lord either. Because the Lord tells him to communicate with me, with each other. Amen?
Amen.
He's breaking that commandment. Doesn't he want to go to heaven? Doesn't he want his wife and children to be blessed? Doesn't he want to be blessed? Okay, then what?
Verse 2. Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for 40 years.
Remember. Then what?
Humbling you and testing you to prove your character and to find out whether or not you would really obey his commands.
Yeah, he's got to know because he doesn't want any unruly people in heaven. He checks people out. He checks you, tests you to see if you obey him here. He knows if you obey him here. Why, it's easy to obey him in heaven because you're there forever. And really, you just lay all your burdens down. You're not walking by faith anymore. You see it. You believe it. And you're so happy there that you're just willing to enjoy the fat of the land. Amen?
Amen.
And to enjoy heaven then. Then it's all fun, joy, happiness. Okay, then what else?
Verse 3. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people need more than bread for their life. Real life comes by feeding on every word of the Lord. Verse 4. For all these 40 years, your clothes didn't wear out, and your feet didn't blister or swell. Verse 5. So you should realize that just as a parent disciplines a child, the Lord your God disciplined you to help you. Verse 6. So obey the commands of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing him. Verse 7. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land of flowing streams and pools of water, with springs that gush forth in the valleys and hills.
Which is symbolic of the Holy Spirit, which is life eternal. Eternal life. Then what else?
Verse 8.
The eternal life is in heaven. Okay, then what else?
It is a land of wheat and barley, of grapevines, fig trees, pomegranates, olives, and honey.
Plenty of everything. Then what?
Verse 9. It is a land where food is plentiful and nothing is lacking. It is a land where iron is as common as stone, and copper is abundant in the hills. Verse 10. When you have eaten your fill, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you.
Yeah, don't forget to be thankful for God's sake. With any blessings you have now, you may think, well, we don't have any blessings. Think about it. Meditate on that. Think of what you have, this blessing. Look at the people in that are on the streets, and then see if you have any blessings. See the people in the world that are hungry, and then check it out if you have any blessings. Check it out if you live in a nice home, warm, and all the utilities are paid and everything, and check the people that are out on the street living in cardboard boxes in Mexico and the Latin American countries. They don't have enough food. They have to live on flour, and sometimes, if they're lucky, beans, because they worship Mary, they worship the Pope, they worship anyone other than God. And they think they're worshiping God. That's why we need to get the Word of God to them. Because God wants us to. He died for them as well. Okay, we're not to hate them. We're supposed to show them love by going to them with the gospel. And to help them. Okay, then what else?
King James Version, verse 11. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God.
Remember me again. Remember everything I said. Okay, beware that you don't forget the Lord their God. Then what?
In not keeping his commandments, and his judgments, and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Verse 12. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses, and dwelt therein. Verse 13. And when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied. Verse 14. Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God.
You know, that he brought you in there and gave you all that stuff. You get lifted up like you did it. You'd still be slaves in Egypt if he didn't do all those miracles and open the Red Sea. Then what?
And thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Verse 15, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought.
Okay, these are all symbolic of got you out of the world, because he likens evil men out in the world as scorpions and vipers, snakes, evil birds, cormorants, bitterns, bats, evil men, wicked men in this world. And he got pulled us out of that and separated us from them, and men and women as well. They're evil. And showed us the truth so that we can be saved. And we're to remember that. Then what?
Where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out
of the
rock.
Yeah, there's no Holy Spirit in that world out there. Unless God calls you, you cannot, unless you believe the word. If you don't receive it, then you're just like one of those vipers, one of those evil things out there. Then what?
Who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint.
So the Lord can bring you food and water right out of the ground and out of rocks. Amen?
Amen.
So that's why you don't have to worry during the tribulations. And we're into tribulation already. They're already, God's already pouring out his wrath on the earth here and there, all the time. Then what else?
Verse 16, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. Verse 17, and thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. Verse 18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day.
Right, if you're poor, you're poor for a reason. So like I said, you'd be traveling here and there and doing nothing for the Lord. And if you're rich, it's for a reason, to serve the Lord with riches, to support the poor, but not to make them rich, because if God wanted to make them rich, they would be rich. Amen?
Amen.
And to, you're supposed to support a work of God that's really doing a work of the Lord, that's really preaching the truth and telling them, not to support some place that is telling you that you can sin, that God is not a God of judgment, and that he's a God that unconditionally loves you, when he is the exact opposite. He loves you on conditions, certain conditions, if you do what he says. Okay, then what?
Verse 19, and it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish.
Now, perish means you're going to die and go to the pit of hell and into the lake of fire. Because people back there had to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what those blood sacrifices were all about. They were symbolic of him who was to come. We now don't give blood sacrifices, because the one that sacrificed his blood, the Lamb of God, is coming into the world, and we just by faith believe on him. So we're looking back at the cross. These people are looking forward to the cross. Okay, then what?
Verse 20, as the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God.
Yeah, you didn't remember to keep the commandments. You learned the Bible, and you know that God gave you all the things you have today, but you forgot to do what he says so that you could continue getting blessed. And then all of a sudden you get cursed and you're destroyed, and then you wonder why. Don't wonder why. Believe these words. Then what? Go ahead. Commentary.
Translation.
Verse
11 through 20. But that is the time to be careful! Beware that in your plenty you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, regulations, and laws. Verse 12. For when you have become full and prosperous and have built the fine homes to live in, verse 13, and when your flocks and herds have become very large and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, verse 14, that is the time to be careful.
Yeah, it's, you know, when you're poor, oh, God, have mercy on us. Send in, a loaf of bread today and maybe a little bit of jelly and stuff. You're always seeking the Lord then. But when you get fat and prosperous, you sit back in your chair, you know, with your big fat gut sticking out. And, real prosperous, and some of you even buy a cigar, kick your feet up on the desk. We did it ourselves. And that ain't the way it is, you know. You have to remember all the time. If the Lord even gave you billions of dollars, you got to say, oh, my God, this is the time for me to be more careful than ever before. Because I could really, start believing, seducing spirits that I got this on my own, or that I'm some kind of a philanthropist or something, that I should, I'll dole out the money. No, you still have to remember that you can't dole out the money to whoever you want. You have to listen to the Holy Spirit, who will tell you who to give the money out to. But you do have to give money out to the poor. Amen?
Amen.
And you have to support the work of the Lord and give. That's part of it, is helping the poor. But a lot of people, the Lord would he doesn't want you to support a work that is saying that God is just loves everybody unconditionally, and you're supposed to have fun, and you just assimilate back into the world and get into politics and all these things. Because when the Lord says that anyone that wars correctly in the Lord entangleth himself not with the affairs of the world, because we're not of this world. Jesus said that. He says to Pilate, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. Amen?
Amen.
And if we're in his body, then our kingdom is not of this world, and we're not to assimilate back into it. So any of these people that are telling you these things, they're false prophets. They're demonic, seducing spirits, tempting and causing a lot of people to fall away. It says, and they shall destroy many. Okay? Or that saying that we should all merge into one big, all the churches should merge together, when they are nothing but cults. And the Lord says this, there's only one way to get into the kingdom of heaven, and that's through him. How can we join up with Buddha? How can we be so evil? Or Muhammad, or any other person, Mary Baker Eddy, or any religion, Catholicism, which is nothing more than a pagan religion. You can't do that. If you're a Christian, a born-of-the-Spirit Christian, and you know the truth, then you just stay out of all these, and don't believe what these antichrists, devils, are telling you to do. If you do, you're going to die and spend eternity in the wrong place, in the pit of hell and in the lake of fire. Then what?
Do not become proud at that time and forget the Lord your God, who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. Verse 15. Do not forget that he led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with poisonous snakes and scorpions, where it was so hot and dry. He gave you water from the rock! Verse 16.
God says that he can even raise rocks up to praise him. Amen?
Amen.
Because after all, rocks are more powerful than dust, and we're made out of the dust. So if he could make somebody like us to praise him out of the dust, he could sure make a rock into something that could praise him. Amen?
Amen.
Because rocks are stronger than dust. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what else?
He fed you with manna in the wilderness, a food unknown to your ancestors. He did this to humble you and test you for your own good. Verse 17. He did it so you would never think that it was your own strength and energy that made you wealthy. Verse 18. Always remember that it is the Lord your God who gives you power to become rich.
Remember, apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. Amen?
Amen.
How can a branch live if it's not hooked up to the vine? We just wither and die. You, apart from him, we're helpless. We can't do nothing, he said. Okay? Remember, if you're rich or poor, stay in with him. And if you're poor, you'll never be poor. You'll be rich. Amen?
Amen.
And if you get rich and you start taking it to heart that you did it, and you forget God, He's going to make you poor. Okay? You can't do anything without him. Remember. He keeps saying, remember, remember. Then what else?
And he does it to fulfill the covenant he made with your ancestors. Verse 19. But I assure you of this. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods, worshiping and bowing down to them, you will certainly be destroyed. Verse 20. Just as the Lord had destroyed other nations in your path, you also will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God.
Okay, so that was the last verse in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Now we have some commentary.
8 verse 3. God's word and our soul's nourishment, the word of God. Jesus quoted this text in Matthew 4:4 when he faced Satan's snares in the wilderness. Quote, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, unquote. The obvious message of the passage is that there is no survival of the soul without God's word daily. The parallel is used of Israel receiving the daily supply of manna, makes clear that a regular daily portion of God's word is to be sought and fed upon by the believer. This is not a matter of legal duty, determining one's salvation, but a matter of personal responsibility.
And it's a matter of life, you know, just to stay alive.
But a matter of personal responsibility determining one's obedience to the pathway of discipleship. However, let no one suppose spiritual survival is possible for any length of time without the nourishment from the Word of God. 1 Peter 2:2 declares that God's Word is as essential to the believer as milk is to a newborn child. Quote, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby, unquote.
Yeah, when you desire something, you're going to go get it. Amen?
Amen.
If you really desire a glass of water, you go get it. And if you desire the word of God, you're going to go get it. If you desire life, you're going to get it. And when you go after it, you're going to find it and you're going to have it. You can't have anything unless you get it. Get it? Then what?
But as we come to terms with his word as key to our survival, let us always see that God has given its pleasantness as a joyful source of sweetness for our living. Psalm 19:10, 119:89 through 91, and verse 105. Psalm 19:10, quote, more to be desired are they than gold.
The word of God, more to be desired than it would be for you to be rich with gold. Okay, then what else?
Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb, unquote. In Psalm 119:89 through 91, quote, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Yeah, your word guides us in what to do, where to go, how to stay out of sin. Amen?
Amen?
And it gives us spiritual strength because the words that he speaks to us, these words are our spirit and they're our life. Then what?
Chapter 8, verse 3 through 4. The experience of manna allowed Israel to realize that their basic source of life was God. Jesus, in his temptation experience...
Was God, and was from God, you want to believe it that way, or was God? Jesus is God. He's the bread of life. Amen. So if you're eating bread, it's him. Amen.
Amen.
Then what else?
Jesus in his temptation experience, Matthew 4:4, Luke 4:4, quotes from verse 3. Chapter 9, verse 4 through 6, the people are reminded there three times that their righteousness was not the cause for their receiving the promised land. It was the faithful fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. 8 verse 2. God often uses the land or the hard times in life to teach us important lessons. Here we see that he had a twofold purpose in Israel's 40 years of wandering. First, the trials were brought upon Israel to teach them humility. God wanted them to learn who they really were in relationship to him. Secondly, the trials were given to test the Israelites, so they could demonstrate what was really in their hearts. Sometimes God tests us in similar ways, pushing us to examine ourselves. We need to take advantage of the difficult times, using them as stepping stones toward our fullness, our maturity. 8, verse 16 through 18. As we begin to experience some success in building our lives, we should remember to give credit where credit is due. We must be careful to give God the glory and the thanks as well. We must not selfishly claim what belongs to God alone, for this leads to proud self-sufficiency that invariably leads to a great fall. 8 verse 19.
Pride always goes before a fall. Amen?
Amen.
Go ahead.
8 verse 19 through 20. If we fail to obey God's instructions, we should expect his anger. These verses should challenge us to take careful inventory of our lives. We need to determine those areas in us that need to be done away with, and the Lord to fill that up. In other words, for us to be renewed to what the Lord wants us to be, for renewal. God's wrath is not to be taken lightly, but if we're willing to change with his help, his power is more than sufficient to help us overcome our problems.
Praise the Lord. That was chapter 8 of Deuteronomy and with commentaries, translations, and I would say just remember. Amen.
Amen.
More than remember Pearl Harbor or remember the Alamo, remember the Lord and his promises. Amen. His commandments so that you can live. Amen.
Amen.
That should be the saying, remember the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Remember the Lord, who is the Word of God. And to not only remember the Word, but to do what it says, because that's what the Word says. Concentrate on it, remember it all day long, especially this day, because this day is sufficient, the evil is sufficient of this day alone, so just remember it and rebuke the devil, reprove those that are doing evil, report, communicate with the Lord so he can communicate and let him communicate to you, and praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Until chapter 9, Deuteronomy, later on this evening or tomorrow, whatever, keep praising the Lord and looking to his word for the guidance we need that you need in life. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.